Genesis chapter 6. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man, for that he also was flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and so after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, that they came mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted his ways upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark. Thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Of every living thing of all the flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring in the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And thou shalt unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be the food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you bless this message this morning. God, I pray as we open your word, God, and look at its truths, that it would change our lives. And Lord, the Bible says that the entrance of thy word bringeth light. And I pray, God, that our ways would be lightened with the word of God, and it would help us to be able to see in darkness. And Lord, help us to be able to live for you. And just bless us, we pray, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As Christians, we should base what we believe to be truth about something on what the Bible has to say. Let me say that again. As Christians, we should base what we believe to be truth about something on what the Bible has to say. Man has all kinds of different opinions, but God's opinion is the only one that really counts. And I'm thankful for all the members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But when it comes to truth, if your version of truth doesn't match up with God's version of truth, then you're wrong and God is right. Amen? If what the preacher says doesn't match up with what the Word of God says, the preacher's wrong and the Word of God is right. And God's Word is truth. Recently, Hollywood produced a film called Noah. I've not seen this film, but I've read a lot of reviews from others who have. The start of this film begins with this: "In the beginning, there was nothing." Well, that right there should give us a clue to what the pretense of this movie is going to be. You see, unlike the opinion of a bunch of Hollywood writers and supposed theologians, the Bible clearly says that in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. There are several huge problems with this film. For one, it characterized Noah. The characterization of Noah is very troubling. In the movie, Noah is willing to murder three men in order to save the life of an animal that has been severely wounded. To this Hollywood Noah, animal life has far more important value than human life. He didn't really try to save a life of a young woman whom Ham tried to save. Moreover, if Noah's daughter-in-law gave birth to a girl, Noah said that from the moment of her birth, I will cut her down. Throughout the second half of the film, Noah is obsessed with making sure all humanity is wiped out so that the innocents, which are the animals, can live peaceably in a new post-flood Eden. An even bigger problem is the film's misrepresentation of God. To begin with, God is always referred to as the Creator. While this is indeed an appropriate way to identify God, it seems odd that it's the only name used for Him. While God is never depicted and he never speaks in the film, what we learn about him from the character is blasphemous. For example, God is always distant. Noah gets peaceful instructions for building the ark through a series of visions or dreams and is left to solve the puzzle of what he's supposed to do on his own. In fact, part of the revelation Noah receives about the flood comes under the influence of some sort of potion given to Noah by Methuselah, a type of witch doctor in the film. Yet the Bible tells us that God spoke to Noah and told him exactly what to do and why he was supposed to do it. God is also seen as cruel and vicious in the movie Noah. The only time Noah prays in the film is right before he resolves to murder his unborn grandchildren. When the twin girls are born, Noah holds a long dagger over the face of one of the babies. After several tense seconds, he pulls the knife away, looks up to the sky and says that he can't do it, and he's failed God. So in this film, God wanted Noah to murder his own grandchildren, but Noah failed to carry out God's plan. Now, there's many more things about this film that are biblically inaccurate, but I think you get the point this morning. Okay? Is the story of Noah real? Yes, it is. Did God send a worldwide flood to destroy every breathing thing except Noah and his family? Yes. As Christians, we need to make sure we get our facts and opinions about the Bible from the Bible and not from a bunch of heathen Hollywood filmmakers who are only worried about capitalizing on Christianity. Okay? So this morning, I want to preach a message entitled this, The Truth About Noah and the Ark. The Truth About Noah and the Ark. I want to give you six Bible truths from the Bible about Noah and the Ark. Number one truth is this, sin grieves the heart of God. Sin grieves the heart of God. Let's go back and read again verses 5 through 7. Look at what it says here. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. By the way, does that sound familiar? Sound like maybe the world we're living in? That the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually? All you've got to do is read a newspaper and know that that's the case in the day and age we're living in. Notice God's response to this. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man from whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. For once again, God says it, for it repenteth me that I made them. What a sad state for mankind to put God in. The fact that his prized creation, who the only creation that God created to be able to have a relationship with him, gets to the point where God says, I've changed my mind. It repents me because I'm so grieved at their wickedness that I even made mankind. Folks, listen, understand that sin grieves the heart of God. Let me read a couple other verses to you. Psalm 95:9 says this, when your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my work, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said it is a people that do err in their heart and they have not known my ways. Hear God's testimony about the children of Israel after all he'd taken them through, after their deliverance from the land of Egypt, after that great deliverance through the Red Sea and how he cared for them in the wilderness, how he appeared on Mount Sinai and gave the Ten Commandments to Moses and through all that. Yet because of their wickedness, God says that it grieved them for the hardness of their hearts. Mark chapter 3, verse 4 says this, and he said unto them, this is Jesus talking here, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, notice what Jesus says here, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, you know what Jesus here? Here Jesus is grieved with, you know who here? The religious crowd. Religious crowd. You know why? Because their hearts were hard and their hearts weren't tender toward the things of God. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. When your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my works 40 years. Once again, God speaking to here about the nation of Israel. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart and have not known my way. Sin grieves the heart of God. Right. Sin grieves his heart. You see, when God made man, he did so for the purpose of fellowship. You think about this. I've said this before. Some of you have heard me say this before. But yet God in his foreknowledge knew what man would do. God in his foreknowledge knew how wicked man would be. But yet he made man anyway. Why would God do that if he realized all that it would cost him to make man? He did that because of the free will of man that could fellowship with God. And God made man for the purpose of fellowship, a creation unlike any other that was made in his own likeness, created with the free will to reciprocate a loving relationship back to the very one who made him. What an amazing relationship that God had made for man. Despite this special relationship that man had with God, man chose to disobey his creator and thus cursed himself and his seed to follow with sin. You see, sin caused a problem in man's relationship with God. No longer could man have unbridled access to the one who breathed into him the very breath of life. No longer could there be any more communion in the cool of the day. Could you imagine Adam and Eve, the relationship, that pure, untainted with sin relationship where God literally met them every day and met with them in the cool of the day? What an amazing thing that was. Yet sin changed everything. Now, if there were to be any kind of fellowship with the Creator, guess what had to come into play? Death had to come into play. By the way, folks, it's not God's fault. It's man's fault. I've had people say all the time, well, I can't understand why God would allow this to happen. God would allow that to happen. Listen to me, folks. Just because there's evil doesn't mean that God's not real, that he's not good, or that he's not loving. Evil is man's fault. It's your fault. It's my fault. Okay? Just because there's evil doesn't mean God's not good. It just means that there's evil. And death came into play, for it was only now by the shedding of blood that man could have access to their God. No wonder sin grieves the heart of God. No wonder it bothers God when man chooses sin over him. May I say this, God still hasn't changed his mind some 4,000 years later about his feelings towards sin. The same way God felt about sin in Noah's day is the same way God feels about sin in 2014. I think mankind gets this pie-in-the-sky view of God and mistake his mercy and long-suffering for the fact that God ignores sin. Let me say this. God doesn't ignore sin. He doesn't ignore sin. He didn't ignore the sin in the days of Noah, and he doesn't ignore sin now. God sees and takes notice, and according to the truth of his holy word, sin grieves God. Not just the sin of the sodomite crowd, not just the sin of the abortion crowd or the alcohol or drug crowd, but all sin. That means your sin. That means my sin. That means all sin grieves God. By the way, you won't find any talk of that in the movie Noah, but you find it in the Word of God, the truths about Noah. Sin grieves the heart of God. Number two, God offers grace to mankind. God offers grace to mankind. Did you hear what it said there in verse 8 and 9 in chapter 6? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. What is grace? Well, grace is simply getting something that you don't deserve. That's what grace is. Now, notice here it doesn't say that Noah found mercy in the eyes of the Lord. Mercy is important. What is mercy? Mercy is not getting something that you deserve. Hey, I'm thankful for mercy, okay? I'm thankful for the mercies of God. The Bible tells us that because of the mercies of the Lord, we're not consumed. His mercies are new every morning. Thank God for his mercy. But what God showed to Noah was grace. You see, grace is a step beyond mercy. I gave an illustration a couple weeks ago when I was teaching our adult Sunday school class about how that now in almost the, 18 years I've been driving, that I've been pulled over 17 times and I've never gotten a ticket, all right? And I told the adults about that, and we were kind of having a good laugh about that. And you know what that's called? That's called mercy. I deserved it. I did. I'm sure I did deserve it, okay? But I never got a ticket, okay? Been pulled over 17 times, never got a ticket. That's mercy. But you know what grace would be? Grace would be if the officer came to my window and after he said, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to give you a warning this time. I love those words, right? I'm just going to give you a warning this time, okay? And but instead, I'll tell you what, not only am I going to give you a warning, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a $100 bill. Now, that doesn't make any sense, does it? Not only did would he have showed me mercy by not giving me a ticket, he would have gave me something that I didn't deserve anyway, which would have been $100. Okay, now, that's still a little bit of a silly illustration. And we know that's not the way it works with the law officer. But let me say this, that's the way it works with God. Amen? When it comes to eternal life, it is the grace of God. By the way, we could spend all day preaching about the grace of God. The Bible says, let me read you some verses about it. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. We know this one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. We're all sinners. But being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so was the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if one man's offenses, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ gave to man God's grace. Romans chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, man, I'm thankful for this, grace did much more abound. Man, that's good. That as sin hath reigned into death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You see the common denominator there, folks, between grace? You know what it is? It's Jesus Christ. Amen? And grace came through Jesus Christ. For the crowd out there who thinks you have to do this and do that to be saved. How about this verse? Ephesians 2, 5 through 9. Even were we all dead in sins. Amen? That's all of us. Hath quickened us together with Christ. That word quickened means to be made alive. And this is what he says. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation, by the way, we get criticized all the time. Oh yeah, you're one of those once saved, always saved crowd. No, we're one of those Bible believer crowd, amen? And the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Last time I checked, being baptized was a work. Speaking in tongues was a work. Okay? Those things have nothing to do with your salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Anybody, anywhere who has ever experienced a relationship with God has done so through one word, and that is the word grace. By the way, did you notice the description it gave of Noah? The Bible says that Noah was a just and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Now that word perfect doesn't mean he was sinless, but it meant he was complete in his walk with God. But by the way, even though Noah was just and perfect and walked with God, you know what Noah had to have access to God? Grace. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And may I say this, if any person ever going to approach God, it must be through the avenue of grace. Mankind doesn't deserve for the just, holy, perfect God of all to love and want to have a relationship with us. We do not deserve that. Mankind is wicked. Let me say that. Mankind is wicked. Hey, guess what? We're wicked. The Bible says that even the imaginations of our hearts are always evil continually. And let me say this. Anytime we're going to approach God, it must be because of his grace. By the way, God wants a relationship with every single person, but it must be through the avenue of grace. And God offers grace to mankind. So we learn truth number one, that sin grieves the heart of God. We learn truth number two, God offers grace to mankind. Truth number three is this. Not accepting God's grace leads to judgment. Not accepting God's grace leads to judgment. Genesis chapter 6, back in Genesis, here's what the Bible says. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come up before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. You know what that is? That's a pronunciation of judgment upon the earth. And God said, because of the wickedness and the depravity of man, everything that imagines only evil, I'm going to wipe them out. They're going to be destroyed. And we find that to come to pass. Genesis chapter 7, verse 21 and 22. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. And in whose nostrils was the breath of life, all that was in the dry land died. You know what that is? That's judgment to everyone who rejected the grace of God. Now, I do believe this. I believe not every person that was alive in Noah's time had to die. I don't believe that. Let me tell you why I don't believe that. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2, verse 5, it gives this the description of Noah. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Bible scholars believe that it took somewhere between 55 to 75 years for Noah to build the ark. During that time, Noah no doubt took on the huge task of construction, but that wasn't his only job. The Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. As he was building, he was preaching. As he was constructing, as he was sawing down the trees and mixing up the tar and constructing the ark, he was also preaching. Preaching what? Preaching of coming judgment. That's what he was preaching of. Why would God have Noah be a preacher of righteousness if it weren't possible to heed to his warning? God always gives people a chance. And God gave the people a chance to heed to Noah's warning. I believe the ark had room to sustain more people, but none chose to accept the grace that God offered through the righteous preaching of Noah. God offered a way of escape, but only those who chose to accept God's grace escaped this judgment. And may I say this, in the day and age we're living in, if people reject the grace of God, they also will face the judging hand of God. Truth number four, the ark was the only thing that saved men from the flood. Let's read verse 23 of chapter 7. Here's what the Bible says. And every living substance was destroyed, which is upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping thing and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. Notice this verse, this phrase in this verse. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. Now here's the thing. God could have come up with another way to save Noah and his family if he would have wanted to. God could have done anything. He could have kept the waters from coming around their house if he would have wanted to. He could have sealed them in a cave if he would have wanted to. He could have given them gills and transformed them into fish if he would have wanted to. But God chose to protect Noah and his family by having them build and seek protection in the ark. Why do you think this is? Why also did God have Noah build this massive boat instead of just speaking it into existence? By the way, that's how God created the earth. God could have spoke the ark into existence. Why did God have Noah take 55 to 75 years to build this huge vessel that required so much task and so much labor? I believe there's a reason for that. I believe because the ark is a picture of Jesus Christ. It's a picture of Christ. Just like no one was saved from death except by being in the ark, no one can be saved from eternal death except through Jesus Christ. Let me say this, folks. Heaven's not like Rome. Not all roads lead to heaven. In this day and age we're living in, I saw a bumper sticker the other day that said coexist. It had all the different signs of all different religions everywhere. Let me tell you something, folks. Coexisting doesn't get people to heaven. Okay? All truth by very definition is very narrow. There's only one answer. For example, 2 + 2 is only 4. It's not 5, it's not 10, it's not 20. One right answer, thousands of wrong answers. Now, if that's the truth about simple things in our life that we understand, don't you think that's the truth when it comes to eternal life and heaven and trying to get there? One way, that's it. Jesus said this in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Did you hear that? Very singular. The way, the truth, the life. It's only through faith and trust in Jesus Christ to heaven. You say, well, other people that are so sincere believe something else. Well, I'm sorry, but they're sincerely wrong. And their sincere heart, if they don't accept Jesus Christ, will take them straight to a devil's hell forever and ever. You say, well, that's mean and cruel. No, that's truth. That's truth. The Bible says it like this in 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. God didn't make it complicated when it came to understanding how mankind was going to get to him. The avenue through which mankind must be saved is through his Son, Jesus Christ, and him alone. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Jesus Christ is the only way for any man to escape eternal damnation. Being a church member won't save you. Being baptized won't save you. Doing good works won't save you. Even being a preacher won't save you. The only way to be saved is through the belief in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to lay your eyes on some very scary verses. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. I want you to see these verses. Most of the scripture I'm just reading for you, but we need to see these. Matthew chapter 7. We ought to read these verses often. We ought to keep these in our mind often. I'll give you a chance to get there. Matthew chapter 7. Here's what Jesus said, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You say, well, there it is, right there, work salvation. No, what is the will of God that is in heaven? The Bible says that it's the will of God that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what the will of God is? Is that everyone accepts his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the will of God, and that's what Jesus is talking about here. Look what he says in verse 22. Man, these are scary verses. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name hath cast out devils? And thy name done many wonderful works? You know what that is? That's religion without salvation. That's what that is. It's the good works crowd. By the way, if are saved Christians supposed to do good works? Absolutely. The Bible tells us that we're not saved by good works, but to good works. That's a whole other message. Yes, Christians are supposed to go about doing good. Instead of Jesus, he went about doing good. But we do not do good to gain entrance into heaven. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Think about that. People, preachers. Jesus, we preached about you. And thy name cast out devils. Jesus, we used your name to cast demons out. That's a pretty amazing work. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Jesus, we fed the poor. Jesus, we gave our life for this good cause and that good cause. But look what he says in verse 23. Them will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. By the way, you know what Jesus thinks about those good works done, even in his name, but not through salvation? They're iniquity. Bible says all of our righteousness are as filthy rags compared to the righteousness of God. So folks, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say is this. The only way to go to heaven is through Jesus Christ and him alone. Just like the ark was the only way for any mankind on earth to be saved from coming destruction with the flood, Jesus is the only way to heaven. The ark is a picture. Here's the next thing about the ark. The ark is a picture of what the church should be. That is why I believe that Noah had to build the ark as opposed to God just dropping it out of the sky. Just as Noah had to build the ark, Jesus Christ has commanded his children to help him build his church. Remember, folks, the church isn't just a building, okay? We need to understand that. Now, we call it the church, and we say we're going to come to church, and we're going to worship at the church. But, folks, this building, this property is not Blessed Hope Baptist Church, okay? Blessed Hope Baptist Church are you, the people. Okay, that's the church. I mean, if a tornado would come through here and wipe this property completely away, guess what? Blessed Hope Baptist Church would still exist because the church isn't a building. It's not a property. It's the people. And the ark is a picture of what God wants a church to be. Matthew 28, we know it. We hear it. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. What is that? It's the Great Commission. It's the job of the church. It's to go and let everybody know about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just as Noah no doubt compelled people to come into the ark and escape the judgment that was coming, so we as a church of Jesus Christ should be compelling people to Christ about the soon judgment that is coming. And by the way, let me say this, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Folks, I keep wondering how much longer God's going to put up with this. I keep wondering. Every day as I see the news, every articles I read and see the wickedness of mankind, God, how much longer can you put up with this? Not much longer. Judgment is coming. We've got to be busy about telling people about the way to escape coming judgment. Just as the ark was a safe haven from the storms that were about to come, the church is a safe haven from the storms of life. The ark was where the protection was at. By the way, the church is where the protection from this world should be. This Blessed Hope Baptist Church ought to be a protection from the things of this world. It ought to be a protection from all the waves and the storms of life. Hey, you know, that's why we need to keep worldliness out of the church, amen? Because the church is a protection from those things. Okay, and just like the ark was a protection of the storms and of the rain and of death, the church ought to be a protection from the things of the world. The church is just like the ark was where the food source was at. Guess what? The church is where the food source ought to be for the Christian. It's where we're fed the Word of God. It's where sometimes, you know what the pastor does? He when he preaches the Word of God, it's like milk. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. But let me tell you something. We couldn't all live on milk. Sometimes the preacher's got to dig out the deep truths of the Scripture. And by the way, the deep truths always aren't the truths we want to hear. Truth isn't always what I want to hear, okay? My wife tells me, I'm going to totally embarrass myself here. My wife tells me I have an eyebrow problem, all right? I get these little springy things sticking out of my eyebrows, and I'm like, quit telling me that. You know what? She's just trying to tell me the truth, all right? So when I walk in church, I don't have these little springy things sticking out of my eyebrows. So, hey, I let her cut them, okay? All right, I just told you something that's going to totally embarrass me. But, hey, you know what? Sometimes I don't like to hear the truth. But you know what? We need to hear the truth. And when it comes to the Word of God, folks, we need to hear truth. And the ark is a picture of what the church should be. The ark was where the food source was at. The church is where we're fed from the Word of God. The ark is where life was being sustained. The church is where eternal life is found and abundant life is taught to be obtained. Here's the thing, folks, listen to me. There's a lot of good things that go on here at the church. And you ought to be here for a lot of reasons. Let me tell you just a good reason to be here, because it will sustain you spiritually. You need to be here. You are not going to grow as a Christian if you do not attend church faithfully. Okay, hey, praise God for everybody that walks in the door of Blessed Hope Baptist Church any time you're here. But listen to me, folks. You're not going to get abstained coming on a Sunday morning once or twice a month. And by the way, let's be honest, Christians, you're not really going to be completely sustained by coming every time the doors are open either. You've got to take truth and apply it every single day in your life. That's why we've got to have a relationship with the Word of God. But let me say this, you need to be in church. It'll help you sustain life. What's the next truth about the ark? Truth number five is this. The ark had to be built God's way in order to survive the flood. Had to be built God's way. Okay, go back to Genesis chapter 6. Look what it says in verse 14. And by the way, you know what you find out when you read through the Old Testament? Okay? You know, sometimes you think that those stories about the tabernacle, oh my goodness, this is my daily Bible reading, how boring, this curtain, that curtain, this collar, that collar. You know what we find out? God is a God of detail. He's a God of detail. Let me try an important lesson I try to teach our young people is this. Details are important. Every single detail is important. If you don't think details are important, don't be paying much of close attention to details next year when you fill out your tax return. Oh, that little box, no big deal. Really? Try that and see what happens. Yeah, it's a big deal. Okay? Oh, I have 10 dependents, not 2. Yeah, right. Let's see what the IRS says about that. Okay? Hey, we think details are important in our everyday life. Let me tell you, when it comes to spiritual matters, details are important to God. Listen to what God says here. Make thee, verse 14, an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou build in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make in the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, third story shalt thou make it. Now that we know the story, and how the earth was going to be completely flooded and everything that happened, it makes perfect sense why God said to do it just like this. Noah didn't think it made perfect sense then. You got to understand something, folks. No one had ever seen rain before. The Bible says that God watered the earth with the mist every day. There was no such thing as rain. This whole judgment thing that Noah's preaching about, God flooding the earth, no one had ever seen it. No one had ever heard about it. It made no sense to anybody. Okay, when Noah, God told him about this ark, God, I mean, what's the purpose of this? I mean, you know, all these stories and all these windows and this pitch. By the way, this was a huge task. Okay, the ark, If you look at the dimensions here, it was 450 feet long. It was 75 feet wide. It was 45 feet tall. This was a huge, huge undertaking. Okay? And you know what you don't find? You don't find Noah arguing with God about how to build the ark. God said, by the way, we read it at the very end of chapter 6. Look at verse 22. Look what it says here. Thus did Noah, according to all God commanded him, so did he. Three letters, or three words, so did he. We better be glad so did he, or we wouldn't be here today. So did he. Noah followed God's plan to the T. You didn't find Noah saying to God, well, God, I think pine would be an easier wood to use than gopher wood. Or God, you know how messy it's going to be to put all that pitch all over it? But God. No, you know what? Noah got his orders from God, and Noah followed the plans exactly how God laid them out. Exactly, to the T, to the letter, to the detail. Now, folks, listen. There's some things that have to be done exactly God's way in order for them to work. Exactly. We've already talked about it, but salvation. Salvation must be done exactly God's way for it to work. Hey, you can't add anything to it. Okay, you can't. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to accept Jesus Christ. I believe you got to accept Jesus Christ. But, there you go. But, no, there are no buts. I think I've got to be saved, but I've got to do this also. No, folks, listen to me. It must be done exactly to God's specifications or it will not work. A happy marriage has to be done according to God's way in order for it to work. What a sad state of affairs our country's in. I mean, not just our country, but the whole stinking world. I mean, marriage between a man and a woman anymore is just, I mean, it's unheard of hardly anymore. It's a shame. It's sad. Okay? Why isn't all this working? You know why? Because man thinks he knows better than God. He does not. Happiness in life has to be done God's way in order for it to work. Okay, folks, listen. I know it doesn't make sense. And God says, fine. You want to find your life? Lose it. That's what God says. You want to find life? Lose your life. Okay, it doesn't make sense, but I don't here to say everything God says makes sense, but let me say this. Everything God says works. It works. And let me tell you something. These things in life, if you want them to work right, you've got to do it God's way. In order for us to survive the floods of life, we must live life God's way. Now, back in Noah's day, God came and talked to people because there was no Bible. That was God's plan back then. In our day, God still talks to people, but it's not audibly in a voice that you hear. Okay, if anyone's ever told me in this day and age we're living, I heard God come to me and speak to me in an audible voice. Well, you know what I say to you? You've eaten too much pizza before you go to bed. Or you might be hearing things, but it's not God. Because God's plan in this day and age is to speak to us through His Word. That's how God speaks to us. You know why? Because we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives inside. The Bible says that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit when we hear truth. And God's way to speak to mankind, the day and age we're living in the church age, is through His Word. By the way, it's not always the most popular way. No doubt in the years it took Noah to build the ark, he was thought to be a crazy man. Guarantee he was. I mean, like I said before, there had never been rain on the earth. Water never fallen from the sky. Yet Noah built the ark anyway. I'm sure that people of that day could not comprehend what it was meant for water to cover the face of the earth. But yet, just because they couldn't comprehend it, doesn't mean it wasn't going to happen. Let me say this. Doing right is not always the easiest way. Okay, it's not always the easiest way. I mean, how easy do you think it was for Noah to build this ark? How easy? Hey, there was no Lowe's, Menards, Bender, or any place like that for him to get lumber from. There was no nail guns, power tools to make things easier. Every tree had to be cut down without the use of chainsaws, made into boards. All the pitch had to be made from something and put on the outside and inside of this massive structure. All the food for the animals and for themselves that was to last for 1 year had to be gathered and stored. It was not an easy task to build the ark, but just because it wasn't easy doesn't mean it wasn't necessary. And folks, listen, the ark had to be built God's way in order to survive the flood. God on purpose allows us to have to deal with difficult circumstances so that we can depend upon Him. We need to change our outlook of how hard and difficult situations are. And instead of thinking how hard and how I just can't do it, maybe we ought to change our outlook to, you know what, I can't believe I have to face or do this, but with God's help, it can be accomplished. Because let me tell you something, folks, there's no task too hard, no situation too difficult that through God's help, you can't come through victorious. And last of all, truth number six is this. The ark served the purpose for which it was built. The ark served the purpose for which it was built. Go flip over to Genesis chapter 8. Let's see if Noah made it through this flood. Obviously, we know he did, but look at what the scripture says, verse 14 through 19. In the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, of every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth, and they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. So you know what that means? The ark served the purpose for which it was built. God used the ark to preserve the human race. It did what it was supposed to do. And just like God made the ark for a specific purpose to do a specific thing, God wants for us today as Christians to do the things for which he hath made us to do. By the way, folks, God made us for a specific purpose, a specific reason. We're not just an oopsie. We're not just an accident. We're not just a matter of evolution. God, every single person God put on this planet was put here for a purpose and put here for a reason. You say, well, that's not me. You don't understand me. You don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand what I've done. No, but you know what? I understand God. And by the way, God's just not the God of a first chance, a second chance, a third chance, or a fourth chance. God will forgive. God will help you. You may not have the same opportunities. You may have sacrificed opportunities. But because of God's grace and God's mercy, you can still accomplish purpose in your life. The Bible says this, 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. If that doesn't make you special, folks, that's God saying that about us. That ought to make you feel special. That you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The ark preserved life. We also are to be used by God to preserve life, eternal life. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask us all a question. Who will be in heaven because of you? Whose life have you allowed God to use you to help preserve? The ark was used to fulfill God's plan for the human race. Are we allowing God to use us to fulfill his purpose for which we were created? Let me give you three very quick practical things and we'll be done. Number one, make sure you are safe in the ark of Jesus Christ. Make sure you're safe. Make sure you're safe, folks. Listen to me. Nothing else will save you except your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Nothing. It's not Jesus plus. It's Jesus, period. Make sure you're safe. By the way, no one knows that except you and God. No one knows that. Only you in your heart of hearts know whether or not you're truly saved. I'm not trying to get anyone to doubt their salvation this morning, but may I say this? If you're not saved, I want you to think about it. And by the way, every single Christian ought to, salvation testimony ought to be able to uphold with to a clear scriptural, be able to see according to scripture whether or not you're saved or not. Every single person's testimony. If it doesn't match up with the scripture, if your testimony doesn't match up with what the scripture says about being saved, then you need to check on that. You need to make sure your testimony matches what the Bible has to say about being saved. Make sure you're safe in the ark of Jesus Christ. Number two, just as Noah was a preacher of righteousness, let us all be a preacher of righteousness. Folks, listen, we've got to tell people about Jesus Christ. We've got to. Now, you say, well, I'm a lady, that throws me out. I can't be a preacher of righteousness, okay? I'm not talking about holding a position, okay? I'm talking about, though, with our mouths telling people about Jesus Christ. Noah preached it. He preached the coming judgment. We need to be, in a kind way, telling people that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven, and if they don't accept him, they will face an eternal hell. Okay? Just as Noah was a preacher of righteousness, let us all preach righteousness. And last of all, number three, fulfill your life's purpose just as the ark fulfilled its. Fulfill your life's purpose. You say, what is that? Well, God will let you know about that. Okay? Hey, it's not a preacher's job to tell you what your life's purpose is. Now, it's a preacher's job to tell you what the Bible says and certain things you ought to be doing according to the Bible. When it comes to your life's purpose, you've got to find out from God what that is. Find out your life's purpose and fulfill it just as the ark fulfilled its. So what lessons do we learn this morning? Number one, sin grieves the heart of God. Number two, God offers grace to mankind. Number three, not accepting God's grace leads to God's judgment. Number four, the ark was the only thing that saved men from the flood. Number five, the ark had to be built God's way in order to survive the flood. And number six, the ark served the purpose for which it was built. Let's pray. All heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, we thank you for the message this morning. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the truth from your word. And Lord, this just wasn't a message that I made up, Lord. This came from you. It came from your word. And God, you presented these truths to us. And God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to take heed to these things. Lord, I pray if there's someone that's not saved here today, Lord, that they would be able to come forward and allow someone to talk with them, and they'd be able to accept you as their Savior, Lord. Why the door of the ark is still open, Lord, may they accept your son as their payment for sin. Lord, maybe there's some other needs that are here this morning. And Lord, I don't know, Lord, but Holy Spirit, you do, God, you do. And I pray that through this invitation that we would allow you to work on our hearts. Bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.